How did you get interested in golf trees?
Well, I always had a thing for trees. I love trees. I actually have a few trees in my garden here. A raft tree, what I like about it's resilient. And when I used to talk to elderly from the tribes, they used to say, it's the tree we like to tell stories under.
I'm Spatika. I'm 8 years old and I'm here with my friend Liz.
Hi.
She's from New York and together we're discovering new old things in Dubai that have been around a lot longer than I have.
In each episode, we time travel through Dubai and we track down the people who are connected to our topic to ask them questions.
Tell me more.
That's right. We ask them to tell us more so we can discover new stories.
New stories about the old, remember?
Spatika, so shortly after I arrived in Dubai, in the middle of summer, I was walking through Satwa and spotted a tall, bushy tree in an otherwise empty lot. This tree was the only source of shade I could find, so I went up to it. And when I got up close, I saw that its trunk was tagged with a medallion that said, "Protected by Dubai Municipality." What tree is so important that it's protected by the city?
It's the Gaf tree, the national tree of the UAE, and it's a symbol of tolerance.
So what do you know about golf trees?
Well, the roots are quite impressive. They can go down about 30 meters so the tree can find water. And in a golf forest, the roots of the trees are all connected to each other and form an amazing underground network. The trees can even reproduce through the roots. And did you know that DIFC was once a golf forest?
I did not know that. What are some of the questions you still have about the golf?
I want to know if it's edible. The seeds come in pods, and I think you can eat them, but I'm not sure. Also, I believe there are stories and poems about golf trees, but I've never actually heard any myself.
I'm still fascinated by the medallion that says the trees are protected by law. What exactly does this mean, and who's working to protect them?
We tracked down the experts who could answer our questions. Listen as landscape architect Will Bennett, giver golf tree planting initiative founder Tatiana Abella, and journalist and artist Reem Ghazal tell us more.
Tatiana Antonelli is the founder of Gombok, an environmental initiative here in the UAE. And for the past 10 years, she's been planting golf trees and raising awareness about the local environment.
They are a fundamental part of the ecosystem of the desert. It's called in biology a hotspot, an island of fertility, because it allows the survival of other species. Without the gaf tree, these species would not be able to survive in the desert. And actually, one of them is very big bug. It's the one longhorned beetle. It's the second biggest beetle in the world, and it lives only in the gaf tree roots. So, and there's not only this one, but you have many, many other insects and animals that depend on this tree. And also from a cultural point of view, the fact that this tree allowed really the survival of so many people in the desert.
In 2008, it was declared the national tree. And that tells you a lot about the significance of that tree.
That's Will Bennett. He's a landscape architect in Dubai. He was part of the team that worked on the sustainability pavilion at Expo, and he knows a lot about the native plants of the UAE, including the gaf.
It has really strong historic and cultural links to people of the past. There is a famous quote which you might have heard, which goes something along the lines of, harm will not come to a man if he has a gaf tree, a goat, and a camel. And that really tells you a lot about, yeah.
I have heard that.
I like that because it tells you a lot about how useful the gaf tree can be. Because if you have a gaf tree, a goat and a camel, then you can pretty much survive in any conditions here. The gaf tree was used for many years for certain medical treatments. Its bark was used. Its wood was used for building as well. And of course, a gaf tree is one of the only places that someone can find shade in the desert. So culturally, they were really important meeting places for Bedouin to sit in the shade in the heat of the summer.
The Bedouins, for many years and centuries, they were traveling the desert, and they could feed their camels, their goats, but also they could eat the gaftch. They were able to eat the leaves, the pods when they were fresh, and make medicinals. You know, Bedouins used to travel around the desert following routes where they could find gaftch trees, because the gaftch tree meant that they could find maybe water on the ground. So actually, in some of the protected areas in Dubai, there are very ancient wells where Bedouins were able to actually get the water. And then, of course, the medicinals. So you could cure scorpion bites and snake bites with the gaftch tree. So somehow, and this is the beauty of nature, in the one environment, you do have some dangers, such as scorpion and snakes, but at the same time, the same environment will give you the recipes and the possibility to cure whatever happens to you because of those dangers. And this is exactly the story of the gaff. You can actually live under a gaff, protect yourself from a sandstorm. Maybe a scorpion will bite you, but the tree will give you the means to actually cure yourself.
Spataga, I've heard that there are lots of poems and stories about gaff trees, even some scary ones.
That does not bother me at all.
We spoke to Reem Ghazal, who is a journalist, tree lover, and storyteller, and she told us some of her favorite folktales about the gaff.
So there's a lot of poems, especially classical Arabic, and from the Arabian Peninsula, because again, Al Ghaf tree was the place where people sit. You know, so we have a lot of poems about the gaff tree being like a grandfather or a grandmother. It was always compared to elderly because it's cozy and it's familiar, you know. So a lot of the poems are about, I finally see you, Al Ghaf tree, after a long walk in the desert. So the poems always refer to Al Ghaf as the savior, you know, or even the camels, like the camels will walk, Al Ghaf tree, you know, it's like the treasure, you know. You know how they say at the end of the rainbow, there's a pot of gold? Well, in the desert, it's the gaff tree, you know. And there's a lot of jinn stories. Have you ever been, you've been to Abu Dhabi, right? You've been to the Al-Ghurm, Corniche, the what is it called in English? Al-Ghurm, mangrove mm-hmm. trees. Have you seen them, the little tiny ones?
Yeah, I've
you
seen
know,
them.
So if you walk really close to them, they kind of get attached to your shirt, okay? They have little hooks, right? And a ghaff tree is the same way. So there's a legend, a jinn story that goes, you know, jinn are mystical creatures and they live in abandoned places like trees, caves, the desert, right? So they say after sunset, don't walk near a ghaff tree because it's dark as well, right? Because apparently the jinn sit in the tree protecting it from anybody who's trying to break its branches, right? So, and the legend goes, you know, the hooks are their nails. You know, like long nails going, ooh, don't you come near me. And you're like, oh, help, you know. So
has anyone tried?
Well, I've tried and something did catch my hair. So I ran fast.
Really?
I'm not going to sit and go, excuse me, is there a gin in this? No, I kind of just ran, you know. So you can try it. What do you think? Just go near a gaff tree. It's kind of getting dark. Kind of look around. See if the branches are moving a little bit. All of a sudden you feel something pull you. Run like hell.
Will also knows some folk tales about the gaff tree.
I wonder if you've been told the story about the gaff trees and its relationship to tree huggers. You know
tree
about
what?
That one.
What's a tree hugger?
A tree hugger? What's a tree hugger? Ah, that's a good question.
Someone who hugs trees?
Yes, essentially, and quite literally. So where I come from in the UK, a tree hugger is it's quite a common phrase, and it's used almost as an insult towards people that love nature a bit too much. So hippies and, you know, ecologists and people like this. The thing is, I think me and my mum, we'd probably call ourselves tree huggers because, you know, we really love the natural world. But I recently learned where the phrase tree hugger comes from, and it's actually related to the gaff tree, which is really surprising. There was a tribe in a part of Western India called Rajasthan. And this tribe were very, very connected to the trees that they had there, which were gaff trees. And this is in the 17th or 18th century. And at that time, one of the kings of the area wanted to build a new palace. And to build the palace, he needed to chop down hundreds of trees. And he was going to burn those trees and turn them into lime to help build the palace. But the local tribe, they love their trees so much, they said, no, you will not take our trees. We will do anything to protect them. And so what they did is, led by one of the tribe elders, they all went and hugged the trees and put their bodies in front of the army that were coming to chop them down. And actually, they ended up sacrificing their lives. And I think there was 390 people from this tribe. And this is a true story, that they gave up their lives in order to protect the trees.
Were the trees protected?
Yes, I believe that they did successfully protect the trees. And I think they even went
as far... Did they get chopped down themselves?
Yes, unfortunately they did.
What?
So when you ask about how important is a gaff tree, I think it's really important to say that they're as important as giving your life for in some cases.
Spatika, would you give your life for a gaff tree?
Probably not. There must be other ways to help protect the trees.
There definitely are. But to know how to protect them, we first have to know why they're endangered. Tatiana can tell us more.
Well, they're endangered for different reasons. The first one is because of urbanization. We've been growing so much our cities and we've cut down too many gaff trees. The second reason is because we are using too much water. We are drilling too many wells around the UAE, and so we are actually depleting the water that is under the ground, and the water table is actually going down, down, down. And even if the gaff tree has a very long root, sometimes it goes down 30 meters, but sometimes that's not enough. The water is too deep and the tree cannot find water anymore. So that's the second reason why these trees are endangered and die. And the third one is actually non-indigenous species. So we call them invasive species. They come from other countries. They're very strong and sometimes they take over. So one of them is the mesquite tree. It comes from South America. And unfortunately, it's just too strong and it grows around the gaff tree and other trees and actually kill them. But the good thing is, since it was declared the UAE national tree, now there's a lot more being done to protect the tree. So you can't remove it anymore, you cannot chop it anymore, or you're going to be fined up to 50,000 dirhams per tree.
50,000 dirhams is $13,615, and it's a lot of money, but maybe it should be even more.
If it helps protect the gaff tree, why not? There's a long history of caring for the gaff here in the UAE.
It was one of Sheikh Zayed's favorite trees, and his original tree. Have you guys been to the Sheikh Zayed Memorial in Abu Dhabi?
No.
The big one. So there's a beautiful monument of Sheikh Zayed's face. Next to it is his garden. They took plants from his garden, and one of them is Al-Ghaf tree. And it tells you the story of Al-Ghaf and why Sheikh Zayed used to like to sit under it whenever he used to visit the desert. It was nice for me to find out it's one of his favorite trees, and it got me, you know, researching. And then, of course, it became a national symbol, right? It became the symbol of tolerance, you know, because it does tolerate very bad weather. So, do you know there's a legend that goes that Sheikh Zayed used to drive around with tools, gardening tools, in case he saw a tree in distress. So he'd be going helping it out. If a branch is falling, he'll go and help the branch, you know? So why not? It's a nice legend. Why not, you know?
The history of caring for the gaff tree continues even today. Since 2011, Tatiana has planted 75,000 gaff seeds and 25,000 gaff trees as part of Gumbuk's Give a Gaff program.
You know, the gaff tree is a wild tree, and back then you couldn't go to a nursery or to a garden center, a garden shop, and ask, "Oh, I want a gaff tree to plant in my garden." So we had actually to start collecting the seeds in the summer when it's very, very hot, and then plant those seeds ourselves and have the baby gaff trees grow in the nursery. And then finally, after a couple of years, we were able to plant our own gaff trees. And now, after almost 10 years, we're very happy because the gaff trees we planted actually are producing seeds, and we're getting the seeds from them. So we are basically closing the loop.
The history of caring for the gaff tree continues at Expo 2020, hosted by Dubai. Expo officially opened on October 1st, 2021, but we were able to visit the Sustainability Pavilion back in March 2020.
Yes, that was a great visit. And there were definitely a lot of gaff trees. I mean, they are sustainable after all.
True. A gaff tree needs about 4 liters of water per day compared to a palm tree that needs 150 liters per day. So gaff trees and other desert plants help conserve water.
Will told us a lot more about the gaff trees at Expo, and he even told us a grouping of gaff trees is called an oud.
There are a number of gaff trees, and the team planted them at various sizes. So from tiny little babies, which are half a meter tall, up to huge mature trees, which are 7 or 8 meters tall. And for those bigger trees, it's very exciting that the whole of Expo was given the chance to use gaff trees which were not being used from other parts of the Emirate or taken from Mushrif Park and transplanted into the Expo. Have you ever been to Mushrif Park?
Yeah, once. It's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. So a lot of the trees, the gaff trees that you see in the Expo, they will have come from Mushrif Park. And do you know how you take a tree from one location to another?
You plant its seeds somewhere else.
And what about if you want to take a big tree that's already existing?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's really difficult. And this is another thing that I learned during the project. So if you want to take an old tree, trees are sometimes a little bit like people. I guess the younger they are, the fitter, the stronger, the faster and healthier they are, right? So just like you. If you're an old tree like me, then sometimes you're a little bit more fragile. You don't adapt to new situations as well. So the old trees, we need to be really careful with them. So what the team did is they cut the side roots first on the four sides of the tree. The aim is to eventually put the tree into a box so we can move it.
Into a box? How would a tree fit in a box?
This is like a Christmas present from a landscape architect.
I thought make someone super strong and make him uprooted and place it into another place.
If only we had the Hulk to help us. No, unfortunately, it's all manual labor. So we cut those side roots and then we water the tree in its original position for many months. And that makes the tree happy and healthy and in the best condition to move it. And then after about 6 months or more, then we come and cut the bottom root, and that's the tap root. You might have heard about that. It's the one which reaches right down into the ground, often 30 meters or more, and it's really what supports the tree. So we cut that root finally, and then we can fully box all of the roots of the tree, and we put it onto a big lorry, and we drive it across the city.
I haven't seen a truck with a tree inside it.
Yeah, I managed to see quite a few during that project, and I can tell you what, it never gets boring. It's really, really exciting.
So there's another legend that goes that a lot of people hide treasures under the gaff tree. So sometimes people go treasure hunting. They kind of dig around the gaff trees, and you never know what you might find. So next time you're in the desert, check. You never know what you might find. You might just find bones, but you know.
Bones? Why do I find bones?
Why not? Anything's possible, right?
Spatika, were all your questions about gaff trees answered?
Definitely. I got confirmation that the seeds and pods are edible.
I did some more sleuthing on that. I found recipes for salads made with gaff leaves and a recipe for gaff ravioli. Gaff even appears on the menu of several Rajasthani restaurants in Dubai, although it's called sangri.
Right, the gaff tree is known by different names in different parts of the world. The scientific name is Prosopis cineraria.
That's a spelling bee word.
We also got to try gaff honey. Tatiana is working with beekeeper and honeymaker Olivier Cantagrel to produce it. Olivier puts the hives in Mushrif Park, where there are lots of gaff trees.
How would you describe the taste?
I remember it tasting smooth and sweet.
Kids in Dubai, we want to hear your favorite stories about gaff trees. Have you planted a tree or eaten gough leaves?
Or dug around one?
That's right. Tell us your stories and what you think. You or a grown-up can write to us at tellmemore@amaya.media. That's tellmemore@amaya.media.
This episode of Tell Me More was brought to you by Amaya Media. It was produced and edited by Liz McEnany. Our fantastic music is composed by Daniel Belka. A big thank you to Tatiana, Will, Reem, and Olivier for giving us time. They're very important people, and we're grateful to them.
We'd love to hear what you thought of our show. Leave us a review and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. And do subscribe to Tell Me More from Amaya Media for future episodes. Until next time, stay safe. Bye.
Bye.